This is our glory. We get to stand. The Bible says you're a possessor of heaven, possessor of the earth, and possessor of the gate of the enemy. You get to possess the land. It's time to possess. And to do that, you train to possess the land. You got to be trained. You have to know who you are when you stand in front of the giants. You cannot stand in front of a giant with unbelief. You have to know who you are. You got to know, stand in front of the giant and say, you're bred from me this day. Your defense is parted from you. You got to know that when you stand. Everyone wants God to deliver them. The way he's going to deliver them is, I talked about this a couple weeks ago, Isaiah 41. Fear not, I will help thee. He says it again, fear not, I will help thee. And he says it a third time, fear not, I will help thee. And it's like, oh, come on, help me. And the most interesting thing that happened there is he did something to you to help you. Well, change me. Yeah, but notice what he changed. Your mouth. He said, here's how I'm going to help you. Because sometimes we get the idea of God's going to help us by just coming in and fixing everything. God wants to make champions in this last hour. He wants to bring warriors out of the right hand of God. He wants to bring the manifested sons, the heirs, kings that walk in the earth to know who they are. He said, behold, I'll make thee a new, sharp, threshing instrument, having teeth. Anybody got any teeth? And thresh the mountains and beat them small. Say, thresh the mountains and beat them small. Listen, God, are the days we complain to God about our circumstance. You're way too mature for that. You're not going to get heaven to move by complaining to God about your circumstance. You are a co-heir with God. He works with you, and he wants you to move mountains and stop being swallowed up by them. He wants you to move those things. Your graduation is your present enemies. Not enemies in the flesh. I'm not about that. But the enemies, the demonic enemies have been assigned. That's your graduation. When you say, God, deliver me. Deliverance is straight through the strong man. Till he's decimated. Till out of weakness, you are made strong. Till you stand above only and not beneath. The only way you're going to do that is become skilled with faith. You have to have a skill set. If you don't develop a skill set, you're going to get whooped on. The enemy's going to whoop on you. He's going to whoop on you a lot. Because he'll take advantage of you. If you do nothing, there's a day coming. You just got to know that. If you will get engaged and learn the joy of being above, learn to stand above the enemy. Not allowing the enemy to swallow you up in circumstance. Not allowing him to swallow up your words. In atmospheres, you start agreeing with him. You start agreeing with him. It's over. It's not over, but you gotta, it takes a lot to come out of that. The number one thing you gotta do is stop agreeing with the enemy. Start agreeing with God. And then learn the skill set. Well, I don't want to do that. Listen, you're called to do that. What was the number one thing that God was disappointed with the children of Israel? Number one disappointment. Unbelief. He says they did not mix the faith. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. They just didn't do it. And numbers showed you just by how many actually did. They took the tribe. They took 12 leaders, top notch, out of each tribe. They just didn't arbitrary. These were the leaders of the tribe. They went into the promised land. And 10 of them brought back an evil report and poisoned the whole nation. God was so upset. He was poised. He delivered them from Egypt. He was ready to bring them in. They poisoned. Unbelief will poison. You cannot subject yourself to it. You cannot listen to it. It poisons. God doesn't take pleasure in that kind of thing. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. It's amazing to me how few people actually do this. It doesn't take a lot. We went up and down the mountain this morning in 40 minutes. It was 40 minutes, and Cody goes, we need to do some more. And he goes, I think we need to stand over Jericho. He doesn't even know what Jericho is. I said, okay. The glory of God started swirling around us. I'm so glad we did that. It was amazing. My favorite thing to do is stand over the enemy now and take dominion. You have a God-ordained right to stand over your house and home, stand over your children, stand over your business, stand over your life, your own soul, stand over your body, stand over your mind, stand over your emotions. You have a God-ordained right to stand in a place of dominion over that. You live in a world of circumstance, 24 hours a day of circumstance. The enemy just wants to mold you. Once he molds you and gets your mouth in agreement with what he's doing, you're not going to win in life. You have to be above. You come up higher, and there's two major operations of faith, I would say. And it really doesn't change. They haven't changed in Deuteronomy. They haven't changed all the way into Romans 10. Moses learned it. Solomon, David, Paul spoke of it. Jesus spoke of it a lot. I remember in the early days, I was in a conference in Tulsa. I'm going to give you a few testimonies today, if that's okay. Take a trip down memory lane. And it was one of those conferences, just, I was undone like Pastor Chuck is right now. Just totally undone. When you're like that, you really don't even want to be around anybody. And they had this field in the back of their conference back there. This is my spiritual father, and I walked back in this field, fell on the ground. I was just weeping. I walked way back in the field. Nobody could, you know, you get far enough where nobody sees you. And I fell on the ground. Because I was just so moved by God. And God spoke to me. It's one of those times almost like, you know when the Father speaks, he's such authority. Or it could be the Lord too, I don't know. But it's like it sounds like thunder or something. He goes, you want to know my definition of belief? Of what it means to believe me? He said it with such authority. He said it's a state. Now, beginning, you have to understand he's teaching us early. He's going to teach us advanced faith, but he's going to start with the principles. He says it's a state of seeing and saying that manifest Christ in you, to you, and through you. It's a state of seeing and saying. It's not just your mind's eye. The seeing has to be built or centered around the Word. The Word is not just a mundane printed word. You ever see these guys in the Bible and they come up to preach and they got 10 pages of notes and they just read the notes and they read the notes and they lost you in the first minute. And the reason they do that is because you don't think in words, you think in pictures. So the best ministers are the ones that can paint the picture. And the Lord did that a lot. He painted a picture. He spoke in parables. And it's because it's a living word. That word has an image to it. The Bible says, unto you was given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Unto them without, weren't given them. Listen, not everybody are called to mysteries. You know how I know that? Because you can go conferences out there and listen to what people are saying. You can say, well, they're not called the mysteries. They may be called to awesome stuff. They're not called the mysteries. Because if they were called, they would understand a few of them. Definition of belief is a state of seeing and saying, which I'll get back into, that manifests Christ in you, to you, and through you. Say seeing, saying, that manifests Christ in you, to you, and through you. And so the Lord early taught me that first phase. And he used my greatest challenge at the time, very early. But I had this man, I don't know if you've ever dealt with a strong man of need or poverty, need, lack, if you've ever dealt with that in your life. I mean, a real strong man, a serious strong man, one that's not normal. How many of you ever had just something come at you that's not normal? I mean, just break you down wherever you went, break you down one circumstance after another. I'm trying to serve God. I'm trying to follow God. I can't even get a job. It's horrible. I remember going to the newspaper back then. You go look for jobs back then. And I was actually this one guy's church at the time and, jobless. And I was looking in the newspaper and he happened to be over at the house that day talking, to my mom. And he looked at what I was, he goes, "What are you doing?" He used to own 15 Pizza Huts before he went in the ministry. He goes, "What are you doing? I'm looking for a job." And he looked over and he goes, "Oh, you're in the wrong section." I'm like, "What do you mean I'm in the wrong section?" He goes, "Turn the page." And this is back in the early 90s. Go to the $50,000, $60,000 a year section. I'm like, I'm looking for $15 an hour kind of thing. $10 an hour. He goes, "Start looking there." I'm like, "I don't have that, you know, skill set." He goes, "You know why you don't even look at that section? Because you don't think you're worth it." And he goes, "You're going to have to change that about yourself. You're going to have to change about what you think you're worth." Well, it took a lot for God to change. It's not about what you think you're worth. I mean, when you walk with God, you think you can do everything. But the reality is when you get into the reality zone, what you actually can do. And so I remember when God started me early in this, and he used this strong man, I call him strong man of poverty, need, lack. Just, I mean, year after year, it was so abnormal. It was unbelievably abnormal. I believe the Lord allowed that thing for me to overcome because it had not come so strong. I wouldn't have done anything about it. And so I took these, I actually have them in my prayer calls. I found them one day. This is how bad it was. I didn't even have $5 to go down to Walmart to get these. I was going to get these note cards. I went and spied the land. We've come a long way, baby. And I went and spied the land. They had a spiral on the note cards where you could flip them, you know, and there were $5. I didn't even have $5. I remember when I got the $5, I bought a pack of three. And I wrote out every prosperity scripture in a confessional format. A lot of those went into the framing of the world later. And I literally took those and all three of them and I would flip them. Now I was just being trained in that day. He wasn't dealing with the seeing aspect. He was going to get into that later. He just wanted the speaking aspect. But the Bible says death and life are the power of your tongue. And I would literally speak and speak and speak and roll them through and speak those words every day. Still speaking them. It's amazing. And as we spoke those words, what happened? Nothing. Nothing. I had some pretty serious circumstances and I had bills and I would count them by the inches in my hand. Back in those days, you know what I'm talking about, Mar. Those bills would grow and they would call back in those days. And I'm like, if you keep calling me, you're going to the bottom of the list. Right now, you're more at the top of the list. So bad it was. So I was living with a friend at that time. Y'all heard my story. I was about 9 months in at this time. It was around Christmas time. Of speaking, nothing happening. And Eli had like 7 or 8 of these big oak trees at his house. Huge oak trees. And the whole ground was filled with leaves. I said, "Listen, how much you pay me if I'll rake all these leaves and bag them?" It's Christmas time. I don't want to go face family at that Christmas time. By dad, a tie and Cameron pair of socks and who I had Christmas presents glory. He said, I'll give you $50. I raked 55 bags of leaves that day for $50. He felt so sorry for me. He gave me $75.
Ooh.
But I remember something happened that day. Because God was training. God was going to find out, well, are we going to do it my way? Because it's just not just a one-time thing. His way is going to be for life. Because what I thought was a strong man then is nothing. The stuff we're assigned to now. Glory to God. Because it's a training ground. And I put that confession, that, and I found those little cards. I can't believe I found them. They stay in my prayer closet. They'll stay in my prayer closet forever. And I threw them on the ground because I kept them in my pocket. I would take breaks and confess, and I threw it on the ground. I said, this will change. I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field, coming in, going out. It was a defining moment. It really was. 55 bags of leave, a defining moment. Because it was a shift. Some of you don't have that issue. I get that part. But God was training something. And my friend that I live with said, hey, he goes, why don't you get a job of what I do? You get a car wash thing. Big story there. His wasn't hiring at the moment, at that time. So I went to another one. You should call it Bubbles. I don't know if you've ever been to Bubbles. Went to a place called Bubbles. And I told the guy, listen, I need to make $400 a week minimum. He goes, well, that's probably not going to happen. $400 a week. Can you imagine? Back then, that was everything. And he said, well, that won't happen. He goes, you can make on Christmas week, you can make $400 a week. But for the most part, it's probably maybe 350. He says, so what are you going to do? I'm like, I'm going to pray about it. He goes, well, don't pray too long. Because there's another guy who wants this. I was like, all right, I'll take it. So I got to take the job, but I'm doing this confession thing. Because God's doing something. And I'm speaking this word the whole time. And another couple of months goes by. But I'm speaking the word the whole time. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse. But finally there's a little income rolling in. And then all of a sudden, the word. All of a sudden, long story short, massive intercessor breakthrough. I was with a friend. God showed up. I remember it was a Wednesday night service. We were over at Dusty Kemp's church and we left and fell in intercession. He had to pull the truck over in the middle of Spring Branch, some kind of grocery store parking lot. We were in intercession. It was just rolling out of me. The whole cab filled up with lightning. It was so exhilarating. He said, I don't know who this is. He goes, this is not for me. This is for you. It says something about you. Something's going on with you. I'm like, you got that right. The next day, go to the same job. Same job. The anointing came upon me. The glory, the blessing came upon me. For back then, it was a pretty big blessing. And just through a series of things, suddenly, God showed me how to sell things. It came up on me. Showed me how to create this express stuff. Express waxes. Nobody ever did this before. I went to the owner. I said, we need to do this and this. Two things were implemented in those next 2 days. Bam, 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 bam. First paycheck. You ready for this? $1,200. That's pretty big because nobody ever paid $1,200 ever in that company. Second one, $1,500. Within a month, I was making $1,700 a week. Where the guy said, that's not bad money now. $1,700 a week. But the guy said, you'll never make more than $400. Say $1,700. The blessing. Suddenly, the owner comes in, he fires me, long story short. Then I go get a job right at this car wash right there where my friend worked. That one right across the road right there. And I walk in, and somebody quit. He goes, listen, I really don't need another guy. I said, tell you what, I'll work for free. I said, I won't work free. But you don't have to pay me by the hour. Pay them. You don't have to pay me. Just let me do two things. True story. I said, let me implement express wax and let me implement prepaid detail. In other words, I sell you on a detail. I had no problem selling somebody for $100, $150 for a detail, but the problem is they never come and get it done. So I thought, well, you know, if I could collect their money the day I sell them on the detail, I said, can we give them a free wash? He goes, yeah, give them whatever they want. Just collect their money. So once I collected their money, it didn't matter anymore. Whenever they wanted to come in, they could get it done. We were rolling. So I told the guy, I said, just pay me a commission on a spread. And I asked him point blank, the manager, what's the best detail month y'all have ever had here? He goes, well, I don't really normally talk about that. I said, just give me a ballpark. He said, 20,000. I said, within a month, we'll do 25,000. He said, that's not going to happen. In a month's time, 25,000. And then the second month, ready for this? 55,000. The third month, 85,000. You see that big oil change bay they have right there? If you go to that car wash, all the behind is a big detail, but they didn't have any of that. They couldn't keep up with the details. They built all that because that blessing came over that. Now, I'm just saying that was just a training ground. All that was built off speaking the word of God. Now God's trained us in a far greater level. Not just to speak, but a state of seeing, say seeing. I remember I was in Immokalee, Florida, praise God, Bronx Church. And I got caught up in one of the most intense encounters I've ever had with God. I remember I started to pray, and suddenly I felt I left my body. It was really crazy. And I was moving up through some heavens, and I saw this skyline. It was like, y'all heard this, haven't you already? I saw this skyline like New York skyline, but think of it stretched times four, how big that was. It was all golden, by the way. I was up above and I could see all this massive city. And I was moving, I could see the Lord, and I knew he was right there. I don't know how to explain that. He was right there though. He knew when you're in the spirit like that, you don't have to ask. You just communicate by thought. I'm thinking, what is that? He goes, this, I saw him wave his arm like this, is the room of my blessing. He called it a room. The room. There were millions of people. Millions. It seemed to be where everybody was that knew anything about the blessing of God. It was very active, very busy, but he wasn't fixed on that. We went up through this layer. I would maybe call it a cloud. I don't know. We went through this layer. And then we ended up on this mountain with this door, like an iron door, like a castle door at the in the mountain. And the door was open, and he took me into this room. It was very dark in there. That was my first question. Why is it so dark in here? I mean, I didn't even have to say that to him. He would answer. He said, it's dark for two reasons. He says, one is the church gives very little light to this operation. This is the room of my inheritance. Say, room of my inheritance. And the church gives very little light to it. And I can't even remember what the second one was. I'll remember in a minute. But I remember there was two reasons why it was dark. He said, that has to change before my return. All that's in this room, which I know what it is now, must come into the earth before my return. He said, this is the room of my inheritance. It operates differently than the room of blessing. And he took this key. It looked like a key, but it was a block. Think of a block of solid glory. And it had a little key. It was like that thick. But you could tell it was a key. And he took it. He says, I have something for you. And he shoved it up into my belly. He shoved the key. He goes, this key will teach you how to operate in this room. And before we're done, you'll see what's in this room flow into the earth. I realize now that was House of David. That was the restoration of the House of David. I didn't know at the time, but I know what was in that room. It's kind of like, what's that movie, Nicolas Cage, National Treasure? Everybody saw that? Remember they turned the light on in the room? And you saw, that's kind of what was like. That's like that. It's intensely powerful. Well, I came out of that encounter. I was so undone. And that very day I received my first series. I thought it was the It series. I mean, just downloaded the series called The Laws of the Sanctified Imagination. And I realized he was operating now on phase two of the equation. How to see in the kingdom. Say how to see. It's not just visualization. I see this. I want this. It's an imagination that's been seeded by God with God's word. And imagery has been produced from that word through keeping it. And that imagery is a divine panoramic image that's birthed out from that word. But what that series did, in a nutshell, and we have it somewhere, it opened my imagination to dream with God. A lot of us do not know how to dream. This is one of the things he told me to tell you. Tell my people to stop fearing dreaming with me. You have to dream God's dream. It's part of the operation. To believe God, you have to see. To see, you're going to have to release your imagination. You cannot see without an imagination. The enemy comes early at your imagination. He wants to own it. Just look at the cartoons. Look at what he does so early. He wants to damage, shut down, close off. Anything he can do is shut that part of you down because it's a very powerful part. God wants to operate in the kingdom with it. The enemy wants to pervert it or use it for his kingdom. There's a big war that goes on in what you see that I have given. God has to teach you how to see. I'm not talking about seeing prophetically. That's a different type of seeing. Prophet see. I'm talking about seeing as it pertains to promise. When God gives you a promise, how many of you have God given you a promise? When God gives you a promise, he explodes that promise on the inside of you. How many of you ever had God explode something inside of you? Bam! Are y'all breathing today? I'm giving you something very powerful, what God's been doing something. So, he releases that image. And when he does, it comes with power because it comes from the realm he lives in. A finished, done realm. So when it explodes on the inside of you, it comes with a faith from that realm, a glory, and a vision from that realm. Suddenly you go, whoa, you can see. Oh my God, I know. I see and know. Unto you it's been given to know the mysteries of how this kingdom works. To see and to know. Say, see and know. Now, that is designed to kickstart you. For the utilization of your mouth and to sanctify, when I say sanctified imagination that belongs to God, his word. We've been given a lot of promises concerning the crown. I have a full panoramic image of what that means. But I didn't get that in day one. I got that by keeping his word. When he said that unto you is given to know the mysteries, he talked about how the sower sowed the word. And they brought forth fruit and said, some hear and receive, Hear, receive, and understand. Hear, receive, understand, and keep. It's those who keep the word, that word is going to grow inside of you. Most of us, including me, want to see that word grow outside of us very fast. How many of you get a promise and you want to see that word grow outside very fast? You want it to break out. It was so funny the other day, Chuck came over to the house and he'd been playing pickleball and he was sweating. I'm like, in the prayer closet, thou shalt not sweat, my brother. So I had to go find him a t-shirt. And the one I got was the one he gave me. Turn of the year. This is our year. I said, you get to wear this t-shirt, my brother man. You know the one, y'all saw it with all the years crossed out. This is our year. It doesn't matter what year it comes. I'd like it to come now. It matters if it's still up in your heart, in your mouth, in the frontlets of your eyes. Because as long as it's there, it's coming. But you lose that, you have nothing to stand on. You're in wish land, waiting land, hope land. You have to know. And you know by keeping. So, as God builds that part of us, as we keep the word of God, He builds the imagery. God will speak to you if you'll keep His word. Somebody asked me, how do you get so much revelation? I said, well, I prayed in tongues a lot in the early days. I was called to the mysteries, but as far as the crown goes, I keep His word. So when you keep something before God, revelation's going to, light is going to continue with you. When you stop keeping something before God, guess what? Dullness sets in. How many of you had dullness set in? When dullness sets into your prayer time, oh my God. You gotta fight that. You fight it by keeping His word so dullness never comes in. You walk in the light. You walk in faith. You walk in vibrancy. Because if you do one thing right, God will keep. Why does it take so long? I don't know. But He called it the word of His perseverance in the beginning. The church filled over you. Because you've kept the word of my patience. You've kept the word of my perseverance. So it was obviously going to be a long time to get this done. It wasn't. That t-shirt had the good 15 years on it. Woo! I mean, I hear these people talk about how I took a 6-month stand. I'm like, 6 months? We eat 6 month stands of faith for breakfast. Seriously. 6 months? You've heard us. What are we going to do? Turn around and do nothing? But I realized what God was doing. Through this process, He was teaching us how to see. Because He had bigger mountains. And we needed the full array of faith. We needed to be primed. We needed to understand. And then He added something. And if you guys want to be skilled at faith, you got to get this. The face of God. You've heard me talk about it over and over and over again. It did something to me. I gave Cody a word a couple weeks ago. I saw he was slipping a little bit. And I texted him a word. It was a word in, texted in love. I said, this is love, my brother. It shook him. It was not even harsh at all. I didn't respect the response. It shook him to such a degree. It caused him to go back into his former walk with God. Because what it was the blessing of God was overtaking him. Everything the boy touches is blessed. It was overtaking him. It started to impede on his walk with God. And I said, there was a day that nothing could impede. And suddenly he said, I'm waking up every day to God again. He said it was very hard to do, but he's getting back in the rhythm. This was 3 or 4 weeks ago. And then suddenly today he says, I did it. I said, you did what? He goes, I'm learning to pray in the face of God now, and I'll never pray any other way. I said, tell me what that means. He goes, I step over into the done realm and I speak only from the done realm. And I do not speak on this side. I speak from the realm that's finished. He goes, it took a lot to get over there. I've been trying to get him over there for a couple of years. He goes, I just can't do it. But then suddenly he shifted over. And he prays from the realm that's completed already. You'll learn what I'm saying in the face of God. There's no way I can get into all that right now. Other than believe you have already received. How do you believe you receive if you don't stand in the place that's done? Can't do it. To stand in a finished realm, the Lord taught me how to do it. It's such a remarkable place to pray from. And the reason is because your words and your imagery is not based on your present circumstance. Did I lose you already? Your words and imagery are based on something in a realm that's done already. And when God can shift you over like that, no matter what the enemy's doing now and here, you're in another realm with God. A realm that's completed, a realm that's finished. Joshua, see that I have given you Jericho. Not going to give, have given. It's the whole difference. Listen to me. It's the difference night and day. Listen, champions of faith are going to rise in the last days. They're going to move mountains for God in a profound way. Every mountain's going to be made low. It's going to be done. Yes, God's going to ultimately do it, but he's going to work with the heirs. The heirs are going to work with God, with the mysteries of God, and huge mountains are going to crumble. Global mountains. Unto you, Father's house, has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. He gave us something that a lot of places don't have. It doesn't make us superior, but it does give us understanding. We should be doing something with this understanding, not just sitting on it. I'm encouraging you in the strongest way possible. All of these words are not for two people to do. These words are for a house to take charge of and learn the way of the kingdom. It's very exhilarating. Because we're starting to see some things move now and unlock. Would I like God to speed the process up? Of course I would. Just like the children of Israel would probably like the getting out of the wilderness after 40 years. We don't get to make that choice. Caleb's and Joshua's faith did not shorten their 40-year journey. No, and they had perfect faith. The journey's the journey. But one thing I know, our word is coming to power now. His word in us, I get it. His name, I get all that. It's coming to power now. This phase of power manifestation of the spoken word. But what he needed to complete is the ability to see the kingdom completed and finished. See from that realm, speak from that realm. Very easily said, not so easily done. It's a shift. Especially intercessors. Can I harp on the intercessors a minute? When we're intercessors, we learn to do things a certain way. And when we've been intercessors a long time, it's very hard to train an intercessor a different way. Because they've been doing it the same way. And to shift over, it's not an easy thing to do. But once we learn to let God shift us over, we can be 100,000 times more effective than we are. God wants people to understand how to see and how to speak. When I say see, I'm not talking just see something prophetically and speak it. I'm talking about moving in that realm, sitting down in the realm that's done, speaking from the realm that's completed. It's the highest level of faith there is. I'm just telling you straight up. My humble opinion. In doing so, you'll bypass your own soul. You'll bypass your own atmospheres. You'll bypass every enemy that's been assigned against you. You'll bypass all your weaknesses. Your faith will not be based on where you are. It'll be based on where he is. If you base your faith on where you are, I've done that. You can still win battles. It's going to be a long road. When it's based on where he is in the done realm, you get to shift over, exchange, and stand with him in a place that's finished. You only learn that, in my opinion, through the face of God. There's just, you have to understand how that realm works. It was the key to how they manifested. The patriarchs, Joshua, they manifested from the face of God. They manifested from the glory realm, or the realm that's done. Now I'm speaking a lot of things. Some of you are with me, some are not so with me, but that's okay. I'm not entertaining crowds. I gave up with that a long time ago. What I'm trying to say is with the heartbeat of this house, what does this house mean to you? What does it mean to understand these mysteries? To be given the knowledge of these mysteries to understand how this stuff works? God's given us some very precious things. Some of us will wait. I'm just waiting on it until it happen. I'm like, why wait for it to happen? But by then we're moving at the speed of light. Join the train now. Get on the train now. Learn to be effective now. Partnership now. So what I realized with some of these former mountains, they're just training ground. The mountain God has in front of us now, it doesn't get any bigger. I'm just telling you straight up. It doesn't get any bigger than the one we're, I'm not saying that in a derogatory way. I'm not saying a proper way. It just doesn't get any bigger. It just fits me to a T. I love it. Because it doesn't matter to me how long it takes. That thing has come down. Because God already spoke it came down before we even started. Which is pretty awesome. So to develop a state of seeing and saying. To learn how to navigate your prayer life and move with God. And move in a finished position. And speak from a finished position. And then bring all that finished place down into the earth. And decree its manifestation. There is a day your word comes to power. In the arena God called you to, your word comes to authority. There's a day the earth is made to obey. I had a minister text me the other day, Rocky, said, what's going on? He goes, what's the word? I said, till the earth obeys. I didn't give him any. Nothing. I was waiting on him because he's going to ask me, what does that mean? I didn't give him no fill in. I said, till the earth obeys. So about an hour later, I go, okay, what does that mean? I said, that means that we're going to stand and we're going to go up and down and we're going to stand in the right hand of God. We're going to stand in the finished work. We're going to ascend. We're going to speak from the realm that's done. We're going to receive from the realm that's done. And we're going to march right back on here and we're going to decree it and we're going to do this until the earth obeys. And we're not going to ever stop. And if I got to wear 15 more of those t-shirts, it doesn't matter to me. Because I'm already operating in the done realm. But the earth will obey. Then the enemy's gates will be plundered in the last days. And the Father spoke something to me the other day. He said, you don't even know the joy yet of plundering the enemy. The plundering him at that level. True kings. All they have to do is make the decree. But to get to that place, you don't wake up like that. You don't wake up, start a word moving mountains. You start, and I want to finish with this, is a seed. If you have faith, it's the grain of a mustard. See there, all we need is small, little faith. No. Mustard seed faith is not little faith. The Lord rebuked his disciples often for no faith, little faith. If that was what he was trying to teach him, he would have to take his rebukes away. You ever heard somebody, all you need is just a little faith? No. You need faith that works like the little grain of a mustard seed. What is the dynamic? Because if you have faith that works like that seed, I should get an offering ready. Then you could say under the mountain, it will obey you. The Lord intends a people to have mountain moving faith in the last days. He's going to move mountains. They're crumbling. What does it mean? It doesn't mean little faith. What it means, differentiates that seed? First thing is the seed has the end programmed already in it. The seed, for lack of a better word, sees its end. It has a full programming, and that little brown apple seed has this big tree, and a red apple comes from it. And peaches come from peaches. God's genius is he created seeds that had the full image of something sometimes a million times larger than its own self. Think about that. Sometimes a million times larger than its own self. It's the programming in it. It's the finished image. The apple seed doesn't have to wonder what it's going to be. It already knows. That's why you have to keep this word till you know. To explode its image. Sometimes we get a partial image and we run. We try to go make something happen. Keep it till that full image. Till you see expanding. And it's going to expand on the inside of you first. But the image of that seed, as it expands inside of you, you see the end. And it starts growing, growing, growing. It's supposed to grow on the inside of you first. Man, if we could get a Kodak of what works inside of us, just imagine some homeless person that's just broken down. Something broke them early in life. Gave themselves to a bottle. But if you open what's inside, it's just a whole bunch of combobulated brokenness. What works on the inside of you? And God loves, he loves them. But to change somebody, you're going to have to rewrite that. That's what he gave me that key. He goes, I need to write something inside of you. And he shoved that key because part of that key was actually believing what he called us to do. And this right here, believe it or not, is not. This is just a building. Our calling is not this building here. Our calling is up inside. It's what's going on in here. What's inside that seed is far greater than what's on the outside right now. If it's working, that seed's got to be planted. You're going to have to keep it until it releases its image. And when it releases its image, whatever mountain is in the way, it'll explode upon. We're coming to the place now. The image of what we kept is coming out now. You know, the biggest part of that seed is breaking the ground. It's going to burst through. That's like bursting out of you. Breaking out into the earth. And then multiplying. Hundreds of apples producing 100 more trees. You see that? The thing we have to do, and what praying in the face of God does, it keeps our image out of the now, out of your own self, out of your own circumstances. Listen, if you're prone to failure, do you think it's easy to do this year after year, looking at the same stuff every year? it would be extremely difficult until I adjusted my vision. Because I'm looking at something different. So this doesn't matter what I see now. What's in here matters everything to me. What's going on in here, what's going on in the right hand of God, that's what matters. Because as long as I am staying with this, and he's expanding what's happening on the inside, and I'm speaking alongside of what he's expanding, there is a day where breakout is imminent. The waters burst forth. These are some big waters, my friends. Waters that can move mountains over a whole nation. Waters that can break open the kingdom of God over a whole nation. It's a state of seeing and saying. I know not everybody's going to do it, but I'm telling you, the joy, I'll tell you this. It was like Cody said, man, the hardest thing was getting back. He goes, it took me a week of grinding just to get back. He goes, second week was easier. And he goes, now I've got the edge. I knew exactly what he was talking about. When you got the edge, you're on top. You got it. It's like working out. You got the edge. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. When you have the edge, you know it. In the business ring, you have a certain edge. You've got it. It's a confidence. You have, you're there. You got it. If you can get there and stay there until God shows up. We do this until the day of the crown, until the earth obeys. The Lord said, one of the greatest joys ever is to watch your enemy bow the knee to my name coming out of your mouth. To watch mountains fall. Quiet in this Presbyterian church now. Here's the glory of it. This is my final close. It doesn't take very long to do. We're finishing. I'm not even looking at the clock anymore. We're finishing in 45 minutes what it used to take an hour and a half to do. I'm thinking I just prayed an hour and a half. It's 45 minutes. This morning I felt I went long and it was only 40 minutes. I felt like I at least gone an hour and a half this morning. You're getting caught out of time. And so you're not feeling it. So it's not, it is work. It's not work anymore. It's a spiritual labor that's going to produce something for eternity. It's going to go far greater than you and everybody around you. We have this once in a lifetime opportunity to get this right. Do you want to be named with Caleb and Joshua or to be named with these other people? You get to make that decision. But this train is bound for glory. I want to encourage you to have this word, because if you can set aside this time, you don't have to be perfect and skilled. He'll teach you how to do it, but you just got to do it. And when you do it, you'll get skilled with it. And don't let the enemy talk you out of it. Because what will happen, the enemy will come along and start attacking things and you will drive him straight out. Say, no, no, no. God's given us charge over our family, our business, our house, our bodies. We need to take the authority. Amen. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Glory to God. Sing and sing. The manifest Christ in you. The hope of glory.